Ja, vielen Dank, Khaleesi.
Yes, thank you, Khaleesi. Okay. Oh, she's going. Right. The combination of the legal perspective and legal defense and the technical analysis of these systems is quite appropriate here, and that is what we are trying to do. We are going to talk about what is happening on the legal level, which constitutional complaints and legal defenses in general currently are ongoing in Germany, but we want to talk it from the other side too, which German states have or intend to have legal foundations for the use of Palantir or its competitors. We would like to talk about how what is called automatic data analysis in official German goes and what it can do, what the risks are. And we will talk about the future, what is expecting us in the near future. 2 years ago, Simone and Jürgen of the GFF talked about Palantir already. That was just after the ruling by the German Federal Constitutional Court. But since then, quite a lot has happened, and that is what we want to talk about, how the debate on Palantir and in general automatic data analysis has shifted, and where we have to continue working in 2026. So what do we want to do? And at first, we would like to say, well, what does this automatic data analysis actually do, and what does it do legally? Automatic data analysis that we want to talk about. To put it simply, it means that we have, for example, the police force. That is mostly who they are, who wants to do this, and they have to have some kinds of data, which is not easy to put together. And the idea is to join all these data together and have a program analyze all that. And this program then is not just to match data, to say that database A and B are in sync on something, but new knowledge is to be generated. Sounds big, but this means that links are to be discovered, new evidence about a person that you wouldn't find. The software is actually to do the investigation, and that means that you use AI-based profiles. And so the computer, in principle, takes over part of the investigative work of the police. Now, that sounds pretty cool, perhaps, practical. Let the computer do it until you realize that we're talking about police, and police databases do not just contain data on criminals, which is dubious in itself, but in these police databases, you can end up quite easily if you are involved in a traffic accident, if you are affected by a crime or a witness, if you're a witness, a whistleblower, you can end up in a file on, if an investigation is ongoing and you're affected, you can end up, so these are people that have no reason to be actually deemed to be dangerous or to commit a crime. Also, in these files on processes, huge amounts of data can end up of unaffected people. So you may be involved in a broadcast cell query, which always captures data from completely unaffected people's mobile phones. The same goes for telecommunications data. So it sounds, if you think about yourself, it doesn't sound so probable that, okay, my bicycle was stolen perhaps. Now the analysis will call me dangerous, perhaps not, but the risk gets higher the more data about me end up in such a database. And that means people that are active politically, that may get in touch with security authorities at a demo, those who have professional secrecy and deal with people that are under investigation, but it could also affect other professions, people that you may not think about, social workers. We had someone going to the court who is in fan support, football fan support, and therefore has a lot of contact with football fans that are prone to be violent. but they're always involved in de-escalations, so they are quite often captured and registered. And if a tool is not programmed the right way and maybe draws the wrong conclusions, then there's the threat that certain dangers are that you might get the police ending up at your door, and this might become very unpleasant very quickly. And in this example, we talked about the large data structures at the police forces. Say if you have broadcast cell queries, mobile phone cell queries, but there might also be data from a very specific surveillance measure that might get involved in these analyses, say if you're targeted by a state Trojan. So there is even more. And overall, it's the very whole, the manifold kinds of data that police have. And I have to be honest, this has not been very much of interest to many people for quite a long time. And that has now fundamentally changed, which to me is a positive surprise. When did that change? I'm going to talk about, but this is also connected to the Palantir Corporation, which is linked to all this debate about automatic data analysis, because the software of this corporation is being used. And what has actually happened with this corporation? One thing is the geopolitical overall situation, perhaps. Palantir in the US has become very public through his head, Alexander Korb, pictured here, Karp, and the ICE databases were raised as an issue. It's not just that they earn a lot of money through this, but they also take part in public relations work. And Alexander Karp was not very visible for a long time. It was always about Peter Thiel in public perception. He was always controversial for a long time, at least. Well, Karp was always two steps behind, as it were. You can see this, there's an interesting film portrait about him, but this has fundamentally changed. In several languages, you can find him talking about deportation policies, defending these, but also saying that his code of ethics, that of course does exist within Palantir, that would always be followed, but of course that he cannot talk about this in public. And I think I do recommend reading those interviews. There's one large one at Wired, and there he is fairly defensive. But that was surprising. But these statements are really mostly patriotic, nationalist, and with the increasing political pressure on U.S. tech corporations, of course, the tone of the debate about the use of this particular software has changed. And also, we have a coalition treaty in the new government, which has terms such as solidarity, and we have the European context where there's a lot of criticism of US tech corporations now. And of course, the data are police internal data, which are owned by the state, and that has kind of shifted the debate. And something short about Peter Thiel, who toured Europe with his Antichrist tour. I'm going to spare you the details, but some of you may have seen these workshops. Academic inter-religious debate, if you're interested in those, you can read up. But if you ascend to the billionaires level, something changes in your brain, apparently. So,
I don't want to talk about Peter Thiel because he's got little to do with the business practices, but he belongs to the kind of people who kiss Trump's feet, and he's one of them, and very publicly. But the policy of the corporation has changed. They not only use the software, and Gotham is in use in Germany here, which is their software, and they publish long videos that have this aesthetics of first-person shooters, which is really weird. But that's where they come from. That's the origin. They have contracts with military and intelligence agencies. They have just gotten money from them for 21 years and never provided anything. But that has changed now, and the Trump government has also something to do with that. Maybe about that. When we talk about Gotham, Palantir has a lot of products. Gotham is for the security authorities. And we've often been asked, what does it do? But depends on who you ask, what answer you get. Some say there is no AI and there is no predictive policing, but what you see on the slide is what it says on the website. So I can only recommend everyone to watch an ad that they publish, because there you can get an impression what the corporation wants to sell. There is not the possibility of analyzing data, but it's really that's what they want to analyze police data. Of course. Also in this context, the ads have changed. They're all AI, but for me, those ads have changed a little. Whether you put AI in it or big data, that doesn't matter. The important thing is they are now the prime players in the market in Germany, and the politicians talk, repeat what they say. But we'll talk about that later. Now, Franziska has already described the main risks, so the general risks of data analysis, but we want to talk about them more concretely for the use of Palantir. Because this is the corporation that we're describing, there are a few new problems that are not only legally. Okay, so in this area, first thing is, we already talked about, if these are complex analysis tools that are not transparent, we already have a transparency problem. But now we have to know, how does the computer know that there is a connection or that a person is dangerous? And this is even more dangerous if we don't know how the software was programmed and what the grounds are that the decisions are based on. In the worst case, we don't know, is it discriminating? Or is maybe even the software manipulated? Can data be leaked? That's really hard to check if you don't have the code. And now we have to talk about this. So they say that it has been checked by Fraunhofer Institution, but that was in 2021. And only because the report then was good, that doesn't say anything about the case today, because this can change. And also, these reports are not public, so we haven't seen them. And also, the members of parliament haven't seen them. So we've been told that this was the finding, but we can't check this. So there is an transparency problem. And there's a risk that we can't really know what happened and that there are errors or manipulation in the worst case. Oh, but Franziska, the Bavarian police has said that Palantir is so trustworthy because they have agreed to this check. So yeah, the Bavarian police has decided that this report should be confidential. Yeah, no, none of us has seen this report, and I haven't talked to anyone who could tell us something about it. And of course, also not the regulatory authorities. Next point, which also has another consequence, we have the buzzword digital sovereignty. But if you make yourself dependent on other states and need them for your work, then you are dependent. And we always hear that this is without alternative, and we don't know how to work without them, and we have no other option. But first of all, the price can be determined by the ones who provide the service, but it also means that the usage the conditions of use can be changed to our disadvantage. So, for example, they can say they don't want to approach the they don't want to access the cloud, and you have used the cloud for a long time. They can say, well, now we actually have to access the cloud, and you have to comply. I always have to think about the electoral computers. Can you remember the case in the Netherlands? The software provider said, well, we just won't cooperate anymore. And that was before the elections. There was a clear blackmail, try for blackmail. And that also goes for Palantir.
So the strategy by Palantir is always a business secret. Interoperability is not known, and there is no guarantee that they would cooperate with a successor software that the German authorities may choose to buy. And you want to, of course, keep your data, even if you change your software. We are going to about migration and solution for that. But what is made possible is that a private company will get access to the way that police forces work, and in the worst case, get access to highly sensitive police data, which is highly relevant for the fundamental rights of the people affected. And I'm now going to go back slightly because I want to talk about the situation in the individual German states and talk about how long back the story goes. But this will be brief, just to make clear why, in particular, the states of Hesse and others have become a kind of proponents for Palantir. We can actually skip through that, but in principle, it's been a standard that's been lived for 10 years, if you include the pilot phases, and it's Hesse and Hamburg. And in the hearing at the Federal Constitutional Court, I thought that it seemed that the police force said that they really are dependent on this software, and meaning that they wanted to stick with this particular product, which they were highly satisfied with. And the Criminal Police Office of the State of Hesse said they have all these pop-ups there's figureheads, then they really want like to be filmed in advertisements for that. So after the ruling that we had in 2017 and 18, the police laws in Hesse and Hamburg were changed, and they had the idea of putting a foundation, legal foundation for data analysis into these police laws. And the difference was that in Hamburg, the foundation was created, police forces were given permission, but they didn't decide to actually do that because there were no license, no contracts were concluded. In Hesse, as I said, they decided to use Hesse data, the software that we talked about. It's based on Palantir Gotham. And because the GFF, the Society for Civil Rights, looked at this, and they looked at the legal foundation for this too, and for the above reasons, because unaffected people might get into the focus, we said that there's a problem here, and we attacked these police laws at the German Federal Constitutional Court. And I should perhaps say successfully attacked these. In 2023, it was time, 16th of February, the ruling was published by the Constitutional Court saying that data analysis, this is a tough read. Unless you say you need this, you don't have to read it, but there is a summary by us. You can read that perhaps. So what did the Constitutional Court say? For the first time, they said standards about when an automatic data analysis was permissible, and quite often you read yes, but, saying that this is what the Constitutional Court said under certain conditions, I would rather say, because it is possible, but what is required according to the Constitutional Court depends on the depth of the analysis, the severity of it. The further the analysis goes, the stricter the conditions are that have to be met in order to not to preserve fundamental rights. So the more data is being used, the more people are being affected that are didn't have a cause to raise suspicion, witnesses and such. The more complex and sensitive the data is, think about videos or data from social media, from the internet. It can be very invasive. So the more sensitive the data is and the more complex the methods of analysis are, the more severe the judgment is. And that this might be a simple match, but it might also be an AI-based data analysis where it's no longer clear how the computer reaches its conclusions at the end. The more complex, the stricter the conditions are that have to be met. In the case of Hamburg, the Constitutional Court in both these norms said, well, this is quite far-reaching. Why? Because it's not enough to just look at what's happening in practice. If the police forces say, well, we're just going to match data, that's not decisive. That's not what counts. Did the legislator actually put restrictions into the law? So, for example, the condition that it has to be significant. It has to be clear what the rules are, and that wasn't the case. All the police data said was allowed to be used, and the Constitutional Court therefore said that this is a severe restrictions of fundamental rights, so very strict conditions have to be met, and these were not provided by the law. And what also comes with this, independent of the severity of the intrusion, it is an actual intrusion if these data are analyzed in the first place, and therefore measures have to be taken by the legislator. Transparency has to be assured. Discrimination has to be prevented. And the use of the tool has to be controlled regularly. And behind this, and this is the interesting legal part, the purpose limitation, that is a legal principle. German authorities can only use data for the purpose for which they collected it. So if you collect the data through a suspicion and your phone has been wiretapped, then that is what the data is to be used for. The suspicion, it is possible to use the data for other purposes, but only under very strict conditions. And the legislator has to say this, and the severity of a hypothetical reacquisition of the data has to be taken into account. So if you just put this data to an AI and say, oh, okay, AI, go ahead, then you have no idea of controlling whether purpose limitation is still secured or whether the data is being used to do something else somewhere else that is simply not allowed. So the Constitutional Court says that it has to be assured that the purpose limitation is preserved, and not just saying that purpose limitation is in place, but actually assuring that this is being adhered to. So the data has to be labeled and only used for that purpose that it is labeled for. That is a severe purpose and a severe measure. Then it cannot be used for any little other investigation. And if the data is in such an analysis tool in the first place and is not labeled, how can you then control that they are used in a way that conforms to the purpose limitation? So these are things that we are still criticizing with the current legal foundations. And, well, the one thing is that this judgment, this ruling made very clear that hundreds of police persons accessing the data would not be accessible. So that was a bit of an interesting case that created some anger, I think, but also a kind of relaxation that the tool wasn't completely taken out of their hands. So that was my impression about the response after the ruling was announced. But we are now going to come to what polices are doing right now, because we are in the phase where the use is still being planned, and what they are saying in concrete, whether they want Palantir or whether they are looking for another solution, and what the political atmosphere is at the moment. So we've talked about three German states that practically use Palantir at the moment: North Rhine-Westphalia and Hesse and Bavaria for the longest time. And with Hesse, I would say that this is the most controversial case from a legal point of view, because they had to update their law. Bavaria, where the constitutional complaint is still pending, and this was in 2022 and 2025, we know of no timetable here. Then we have the case of Baden-Württemberg, which we'll come to separately, because that is very interesting, because after the whole debate that was kind of in the summer break, there was a real debate going through all the papers and the state parliaments into the autumn, and Baden-Württemberg just followed behind, and then they were the recipients of all the wrath from the people, and they've had the most resistance. So we've got these three that have legal foundations in place. Then we have Rhineland-Palatinate, which I think are not going to use Gotham, Palantir Gotham, about North Rhine-Westphalia, short note, in response to the ruling in 2023, the police law was changed. Yeah. Let's just briefly talk about the special case of Bavaria.
Yeah, there is the sausage king and carp. Bavaria is... Bavaria is interesting because Bavaria, this frame agreement made, which is important because it gives other state police departments and also the national police the way to enter without doing a European without giving opening it up for Europe, and they also can use the services of the other states, which Baden-Württemberg also did. They also take the help of Hessen and probably use their expertise. And in the petition hearing in the Baden-Württemberg parliament, they talked about it. So Bavaria opened a door, which the previous government also discussed, because maybe you remember, Nancy Faeser was our Minister of the Interior, and she didn't allow the national police forces to use this. And this is probably going to change, because Bavaria is an enabler here, and Bavaria just did something that others didn't dare to do. They, for months, they just collected data from real people. And what goes into this police database has probably little to do with the Bavarian state. They didn't even tell the data protection officer who knew about this from the paper. So they have an interesting take of law. And when the data protection agent intervened and said this has no basis in law, then they gave themselves this rule of law ex post, and they're going to probably use other legal ways to do this. And the second case that is interesting, maybe you heard about it, that's Baden-Württemberg. where an interesting political situation arose. After everyone said, excuse me, in this geopolitical situation, we should probably not give Palantir more police data. Baden-Württemberg said, oh, we'll just agree with them before we have a basis in law. And then they were ruled by the Greens, who are against this. So this was an interesting divide between these two facts. And the Greens got a national park in return. And with a bit of bellyache, they agreed to Palantir. But don't worry, it's only an interim solution. So just for a short time. Yeah, don't worry. This is an argument we often hear. Oh, this is just an interim solution. We just need this today because the danger is so big. We do Palantir now and then we do something else. But, you know, the question is, well, if you have the tool and have paid a lot for it, how much interest do you have to solve it on your own and to develop an own solution and to look for something else if it works this great? So in Baden-Württemberg, they said a lot about this, but also a lot of people are in favor, say, well, we need it now and then we develop something on our own. And there were police programs in 2020 where the plan was to develop solution. Oh, you mean 2016? Since for a decade they have not been able to come up with their own solution. It's not a joke. 2016, they planned to do this, but now it's 2025. We often hear it's without alternatives now, but we will look for something new. But the last years there was not enough money and the want to do this, and now we have an interim solution. But where should the money come from, and who should pay for this solution? I may remind you that a very German consortium around Secunet in the German parliament in some gremium, they discussed that they would be able to bring something into effect within 7 months. But there was nothing, and the 25 million that Bavaria paid is not little, but, well, let's talk about the legal basis, because however much you debate this, in many states that have this automatic database analysis in the police regulation, in Saxonia-Anhalt, Thuringia, Lower Saxony, and Schleswig-Holstein, they have different experience. They thought the results were, well, not of a good quality. They have not reached what they wanted to reach, and the legal professionals that are concerned with the results, they thought the results were quite minimal. And there was obviously little local reporting on this. Maybe that's because the police rulings have other rules that are also dubious, that also have automated analysis, but that's also a complex thing, so maybe that's why they didn't report about this much. I have asked all ministries of the interiors, and even before those legal bases were there, who of you plans to join this framework contract, and who wants to use Palantir? Not even one state could name any alternative to this. So even before this debate started, it was clear that they all want to join into this Palantir contract. Several of these states say that, especially Schleswig-Holstein, well, we want to, with some limitations, Saxony-Anhalt, they want to use something that is more sovereign, and they tried to talk about this in the National Council. They want to do something that is more more fitting to the geopolitical developments, but they're just they want to wait for another solution that will come along. Well, now it's just so comfortable to use the law that we already have. We can see that in the law that they say, well, we have this data regulation law that we will respect, but we can see that that's also they're towing the line here. But nobody says that the Federal Constitutional Court, they don't want to keep a bit of a distance to the limits of the Federal Constitutional Court. They want to toe the line and see what they can do. As I said, it has to be in the law, but there's not a lot of effort to do that. They're just saying that you can analyze data and then you exclude some minor areas, like, for example, people that are not part of something should be excluded, but it's unclear how that should go. And it's clear that they try to write it in, so there's nothing that where they say we didn't look at this, but they just say, well, now we have Palantir and we can go on to the next case. And we had to appeal another...
other states were said, well, there were some restrictions set by the Constitutional Court, and we'll ignore that, so we'll go back to the courts to actually force them to adhere to those restrictions. And the reason why the publication of the ruling was in July and had such an effect in the summer break, as it were, that was something that was linked to the federal policies, politics at the federal level, because at the same time there was this development that was called the security package. The new coalition was to write data analysis into this new law, but somehow the interior minister, Alexander Drubin, pictured here, could not be made to clarify whether he wanted to enter into this framework agreement. And his Social Democrat predecessor had made it clear that changes would have to be made, could be made, but he didn't quite want to position himself. And that really reinforced the debate. And, well, we don't want to speculate. This will be published shortly, and necessarily near the end of next year, we will see concrete draft laws, and he will then have to say with whom he wants to work together. And I think the timing is even worse than if he said something in summer or early autumn, because this is now entering into a kind of no-go area, not regarding the legal foundation, but there seems to be, the policy seems to be kind of gone too far already. But let's see how immune he is to that kind of pain. And so the Federal Border Police and the Federal Criminal Police Office, they have a security package pending or waiting for it with legal foundations for this kind of data analysis that is to make this possible. And these draft laws normally do not contain a statement that says we are going to do this with Palantir Gotham or someone else. They are formulated in a technologically open way, saying that we're not going to decide this. But the questions that are sensitive to fundamental rights should actually be decided by Parliament. So there should be it should be possible to decide with the laws what the kind of provider should look like, the supplier, not just looking at the general rules, but also about the guarantees by the supplier. And we haven't got this clarity yet. We have the statement by the Constitutional Court that certain private providers, suppliers come with specific risks, data leaks, for example, but any clear guidelines that say, well, according to the Federal Constitutional Court, we're going to do this, we don't have that yet. And we would like the legislator to be responsible here and say what rules the suppliers have to adhere to. Now we're trying to get to what the problems in the near future might be that have actually also already arisen. We have alluded to this already. We can see quite clearly that several German states are trying about the problems that have occurred in the pilot phases and where it's clear that the intrusions into fundamental rights are quite the same than they would be in productive use, saying that they are going to solve this by running software trainings with real police data or making this possible. I've called this a software training. These days you will read about AI and such. In the end, it's not specific what kind of training this is supposed to be, but maybe that might include working with private suppliers. And that is a problem beyond the case of Palantir. If you have, say, biometric or behavior recognition data, telecommunication metadata, where police forces might work with private suppliers, that, in my view, is a very specific and separate and severe intrusion into fundamental rights, where the people affected are not informed either. And there's a whole range of millions of records that might be affected. So we'll have to see. Would you like to attack this legally? About the AI issue, I would like to add, in the ruling on data analysis, the Constitutional Court didn't say that much about the use of AI. These questions were not really discussed so much in that hearing, but the Constitutional Court uses the term self-learning here when it refers to AI. There are certain legal definitions here to look at as well. But what is important is that the court says quite clearly that these kinds of systems are really invasive. So that raises the intrusion to a whole new level, and you have to create very strict restrictions in the law for the use of that. And when the court says that if you use something like that, then the accountability isn't there, and you have to create protections. And we don't have an individual decision, but we hope to get one soon, because in the novella of the law in Hesse, there was the attempt to kind of exclude AI, I think I would call it, and near the end of last year, that was deleted from that draft, and this is how they tried to get AI into the picture. And the reasoning does say that AI, in the sense of the AI Act, is to be allowed. So we hope that we will now be able to get new rulings from the court to say what the restrictions should look like. What does the legislator have to regulate? And this will be a very separate point. But we need to create a foundation for that. And there we hope that we can answer a few questions with our proceedings that way. Another problem is the Secret Services, of course. In concrete, the Protection of the Constitution, which is the name for the Interior Secret Service in North Rhine-Westphalia and Hesse. They have their own data, of course, which are normally separate from police data, but this is about the BND law. BND is the Foreign Intelligence Service. There is a draft not quite yet there yet, but leaks have been made, so we know that this is forthcoming. And we have a whole separate problematic area here, massive amounts of data about people. And then there is a whole military area where we know so much less. And lots of the problematic situations in Bavaria or North Rhine-Westphalia or Hesse, we found out through journalist research, and the data protection commissioners through the media only learned what the problems were. That is not the normal way. We don't know about the plans. We know what the intentions are. The usual suspects in the journalists are leaking already. And I would not be surprised if automatic data analysis were to be included in those lists. I would almost be sure of that. Last item on this. This is all tax money too, isn't it? To make it quite clear. And the question then is, how much money are we putting where for these analysis tools? And that is an item that is quite separate. There's a huge amount of money flowing to players, and you have to consider who is supposed to receive the tax money to build these analysis tools, if we do need one. And that is quite fitting because it's near the end of the year, of course. So it's quite fitting that at the end of the year we had a two-part piece from the Swiss magazine Republik, which on the basis of what we call freedom of information laws, I think it's a similar term in Switzerland, they were able to retrieve a large amount of documents, and they had a very interesting analysis about how Palantir through years and years has kind of approached the authorities and tried to get their software sold. And this is kind of stupid because Carp lives there, but what I find particularly interesting is a report about the Swiss Army, where through the various software products and the risks and they kind of summarized the current state of information, and nicely they've put this online so we can all read this, and the recommendation of the Swiss Army that they issue is quite clear. They recommend, the experts of the Swiss Army recommend to do without solutions by the Palantir Corporation, but what are the arguments for this? They went through the whole problem situations that we talked about, technologically, geopolitically, legally, ethically. They just wrote it all down, and they had a cost-benefit analysis as well, thinking about how in the long term you deal with the money and what the benefit is. And I would really wish that the level of this analysis and the recommendations, which is quite clearly against Palantir, that this level of expertise we would have here as well, because I would have wished that many of these questions would have been asked early on, but maybe the time was a bit too early for that. But the point where I found this particularly interesting, there was the first blog article by Palantir about how they felt misunderstood by the Swiss magazine. So, actually, their press strategy is not to say anything. They don't say anything to Reuters or the German press agency, but they made an exception here. And that, this was released in German and English. I forgot to take a screenshot for that. But they said, oh, we've invited the journalists into our office. This was an exceptional proof of trust. So a critical public actually does have an effect at Palantir. And I think that they see that in Europe, not just Switzerland, also France, things are not going so well for them. So they're kind of losing their nerve. And I would say since the end of July, early August, they call up the individual states and say, we have these products. Their competitors call up the authorities and say, we know about European laws and we know how to adhere to standards. So Palantir is kind of losing their grip. And of course, the report by the Swiss Army also included questions, should you or can you use open source. They have a focus on military data here. And these software solutions, they have advantages of certain solutions in mind. It's a very clear report, so I recommend everyone to read this. We have to come to a conclusion.
Okay, so we already hinted at it. It's a broad discussion here, and at least those who should take decisions about the legal basis and the concrete use of this cooperation, who have know everything about this, and we see a normalization, at least with respect to the legal basis. Some of the states have decided to do stuff with Palantir, but the legal basis is now the framework for all of the doing. We are sometimes confronted with the police interest groups who react quite irritated, especially when you talk about a certain kind of investigation. And if you tell them that Palantir might not be used, they are quite irritated about this. And at least my impression is they don't mind lying about the decision. They have read it and they know what is in it. But still, my impression is that they just distribute disinformation in the public. And this supposed lack of alternatives is always stressed. This is a circular argument because we have this this framework agreement. We could enter this, and it won't last long. And that, of course, supports this lack of alternative. Of course, we have to say this lack of alternative is stressed by anecdotes that that are supported by stories, which supposed cases have been solved by using Palantir, but we don't have any evidence that statistics speak in favor of these tools. There are always stories, and I'm not saying they're wrong, but there are no numbers that support the argument and that say this works and it will lower criminal statistics. Apparently, it doesn't even play a role. In Saxony, where there was the attack in Magdeburg, you just take whatever case you can find that's just current and argue with it. So you just take the current scandal or story that's important and put your argument on this. But the data were not the problem. But still, Palantir was not responsible for this. I don't know when you worked last with data or a database that was not searchable. I think that's terrible. And we have to say there is a difference between making a database technically feasible, and we want to buy Palantir Gotham. And there's a difference between enabling methods in a data protective ways to use the data, or we create legal frameworks that allow very wide ranging analyses. And we see that there is a difference. There are legal frameworks given by the federal constitutional law, and there must be held some distance from that you can do. And there should be you need to secure that there is that you only do what you have to do. We have to make sure that we have some room for what the federal constitutional court allows. You won't be surprised that what we demand is what we say here on our slide. The problem is not only Palantir. It is important that this corporation is taken as an example to discuss this, because it's an impeccable example for showing what the problems are with dependability and digital sovereignty and with respect to police data. That's an excellent example, and Alex Karp has presented himself in an excellent way to show this argument, arguments about digital sovereigns on every level. And the problem is not only Palantir, but also other software would be problematic. And we want to stress that we think data analysis in itself should be limited. Maybe the police will get there in 2040. Even if the police can get to a no solution in 2040, the problems will still be here. And Karlsruhe has decided something, and they are always trying to go to the limits of this. And we know that we have the government that we have. We don't expect a lot from Dobrindt, our Minister of the Interior. Everything will be tested and tried. But we have the better arguments, and we should show them. We should also ask not only what kind of data analysis result, but we want to stress that we should ask what structural problems are there when we are dependent on other nations' products. And so this gives us a basis for discussion.